Storytel presents The Devil's Ravine by Margit Sanomo. Part 21 in the Legend of the Ice People series. Narrated by me, Nina Undis. The legend of the Ice People begins many centuries ago with Tengil the Evil. He was ruthless and greedy, and there was only one way to get everything that he wanted. He had to make a pact with the devil. He traveled far into the wilderness and summoned the devil with a magic potion that he had brewed in a pot. Tengil the Evil gained unlimited wealth and power, but in exchange, he cursed his own family. One of his descendants in every generation would serve the devil with evil deeds. When it was done, Tengil buried the pot. If anyone found it, the curse would be broken. So the curse was passed down through Tengil's descendants, the Ice People. One person in every generation was born with yellow cat's eyes, a sign of the curse and magical powers which they used to serve the devil. One day, the most powerful of all the cursed Ice People would be born. This is what the legend says. Nobody knows whether it is true, but in the 16th century, a cursed child of the Ice People was born. He tried to turn evil into good, which is why they called him Tengil the Good. This legend is about his family. Actually, it is mostly about the women in his family, the women who held the fate of the Ice People in their hands. Chapter 1. The hour before dawn. The hour when life and energy on our planet is at its lowest. The hour between night and day. The quiet hour when everything is dormant. Where weakened bodies go into their death throes. The flame of life flickers and many people have to give up and relinquish life on Earth. Men and women get lost in the dark corners of their souls. And the mentally sick shout silently for help in the grey gloom of the fading night. This is the hour when shady beings play havoc. Humans with the invisible mark of crime on their forehead. Wolves and wild beasts roam about searching for prey, and their timid victims tremble hidden among the leaves. Nameless creatures rise from the abyss to mingle with the living on Earth. At this hour, they can glide around the beds of the sleepers, searching for a prodigal soul that they can seize before day breaks. It was at such an hour, at the end of a blue-black night, that the smallholder of Knuppahult woke and sat up in bed. What sort of sound was it that he just heard? His wife, Ebba, that sinful slut, was sleeping shamelessly after seducing him yet again with her devilishly beautiful body. He had beaten her, as one ought to, as punishment. All was quiet in the kitchen where their daughter slept. The sound had come from outside. He swung his skinny legs cautiously over the edge of the bed, but not cautiously enough. The bed creaked, and in the middle of that, he heard the peculiar sound again, but so low that he could not quite make it out. Could it have been a shout? He wasn't sure. It could have been a tremulous screech from a fox or an owl. It could have been the ice cracking with a loud noise. But it could also have been something else. Something unknown. Cerberus? Or ghosts that had made their way from the other side? The hair on his neck almost began to rise. Karl of Knuppahult shuffled on bare feet to the kitchen door and opened it very carefully. It creaked, but not so badly if you moved it very slowly. In the kitchen, he glanced in the direction of the bench where his daughter Gunilla was fast asleep, exhausted after her hard day's work. Oh well, he thought brusquely. It does children good to work hard. They have to learn what it is to have a bent back from slogging from early morning till night. This was Carl's philosophy of life.